Good morning and welcome to the Communication Corner. I'm your host, Dr. Bill Lampton. We're with you live on Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Time with rebroadcast of the program at 6 a.m. on Thursdays for those who start their day quite early. Broadcasting from the John W. Jacobs Building on the beautiful Brunel University campus. In fact, WBCX-FM is known as the voice of Brunel. And speaking of the voice of Brunel, who better fits that description than Christina Rhodes, my very capable program producer and the general manager of station WBCX-FM. Christina, good to be with you. You know, I was noticing on Facebook, I know you're a California girl, as you describe yourself. However, I happened to see you on the ice as I was looking at Facebook this week. Tell us a little bit about that.
And I went to Houston, Texas to find it.
Imagine that.
Yeah, Bill, it was an absolute blast. My husband and I were able to go on a little trip, long weekend this weekend, to see some good friends in Houston. And my friend is also in a wheelchair, so they're really plugged into all the adaptive sports in the area. And we got to go out Saturday morning and play some sled hockey, which is just this little kind of really tiny little sled you sit on that's got some ice skates underneath it, and you just propel yourself around the rink, and it was an absolute blast. My husband even got out and played, and he's more sore than I am.
Well, one thing I can always say about you, you are venturesome. Don't try this because then you will. And by the way, yesterday afternoon, I was listening once again to your wonderful Monday afternoon program from 3 to 5, Ocean Breeze, and I must put in a little mention here of why the program was so beneficial for me yesterday. I was driving, Christina, to go get a long overdue, much needed set of new tires. I knew I was going to spend $700. I needed something to soothe my nerves. What better than listening to you and that grand beach music? In fact, after listening to your program for a while, I had to check and see if there was sand in my shoes.
Perfect. Then the job's getting done.
Right.
And what about you, Bill? You were saying that you were going to maybe watch a golf tournament this past weekend. How was that?
Well, I was, but the weather didn't cooperate. We've had so much rain around here lately. I'm going to call it, instead of Gainesville, Georgia, Rainsville, Georgia. And so Sunday, the final round of the tournament was canceled, which was a little surprising to me because immediately after they canceled it, the course was open and a group of high school students went out and played. And I thought, if high school students can play, why can't these pampered professionals play?
Right.
So I did not get to see that. But anyway, we both had some fun. But man, are we going to have some fun today. My great friend Terry Brock would say to listeners, you are in for a real treat today. And this time, he happens to be the treat. I want to start by asking all of us to use our imagination for a couple of minutes. After all, as Terry Brock, as he puts in an old radio guy himself, knows, radio is known as the theater of the mind, and that term means that we are free to imagine for as long as we want. So, for a minute, imagine what you were thinking when several marvelous inventions and technology came along. You consider them so valuable, they might never be replaced. Imagine the excitement you felt, for example, with the Selectric typewriter. You remember that little revolving ball of type? It allowed you to type multiple copies of the same letter without using carbon paper. Hey, we'd never need anything better than that, would we? Or what about the Polaroid camera, giving you the option of seeing your pictures immediately without having to send them to a developer and wonder which ones would come out okay? Oh, now think back to your first video camera. My gosh, it weighed 10 pounds. It was more like an extra piece of luggage that you were taking on your vacation trip. Oh, now let's not forget VCR tapes, although we will be forgetting them soon, designed so you could watch movies on your home television set. Then those 4-track, 8-track cassette tapes you could hear in your car. Terry Brock has used all of these items. Ah, that touch-tone phone, replacing the long-standard cumbersome dial phone. Hey, you remember the dial phone, the one that you connected, strangely enough, to a wall by a wire? Now notice, As fine as these were for their generation, they have faded as more efficient technology has emerged. Now we're surrounded by all kinds of things, iPods, iPads, CDs, DVDs, high-definition television, and so much more. How can we possibly keep up with what we should choose and use? Well, I've discovered, since I've been in business since 1997, that the best strategy is to turn to an acclaimed expert who has been in the forefront of technology advances for decades. Not only does he personally test the new offerings, he determines which ones will be best for those of us who want to leverage them to build relationships. And that's what we're going to be concentrating on in this interview, leveraging technology to build relationships and therefore to expand our businesses. He even identifies those technology items that are most cost-effective. And by golly, we're grateful for that. We're so fortunate that our guest today is the renowned Terry Brock, who not only knows what we need, but also has the uncommon knack of explaining these innovations in clear, simple language. He will do that for us today, as he has done so well for many audiences internationally. Please join me in welcoming to WBCX, in the Communication Corner, my valued professional colleague and friend, Terry Brock. Terry, welcome to the Communication Corner.
Wow, Bill. Well, thank you. Gee, after that introduction, I'm kind of anxious to hear who this guy is. It'll be great. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you'll be impressed with him, I promise you.
Yeah, I'm hoping, yeah.
Well, Terry, as I came to know you 15 or so years ago, it was obvious by then that you had established your niche. And that niche has been leveraging technology to build relationships. I'm sure our listeners are wondering, what prompted you to embrace technology so energetically, while a great number of your colleagues, including me, were reluctant, in fact, even afraid to try what you whimsically call gizmos and gadgets for geeks? What made you venture in that direction, Terry?
Well, I guess it was a number of things. It was kind of fun to get into it, and then I saw the practical benefit. I guess when I started as a little kid, using those old things, remember those old things called audio cassettes? And we would use those, and I got into those and thought, wow, this is really cool. I can record something and then play it back and be able to learn a lot that way. And I began to see the practical use of it, and gone through undergrad school, studying radio and TV, and then my MBA, where I got a chance to see some of the business stuff they tried to cram into our little brains, and I found, hey, you can take this technology and apply the principles of business so that really what you're doing is reaching people more, because that's what it's all about. It's not so much about the gizmos and gadgets and all the neat little toys that they have, which are really cool, and we like those. What really matters is building the relationships in business so that we get to know people, because you and I both know that whatever technology we have today, it's going to be, well, almost laughable in a few years. What really will matter will be the relationships that you establish, that you nurture, that you are able to draw from, where you're helping each other in a genuine, real way. That's what it's all about, and I think that that's what gets me excited about the technologies. As I see new technologies constantly emerging, they really are about connecting people. I mean, when you think about it, one of the hot areas right now, Bill, as you know, and you're very active with, is social media. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all of these, LinkedIn, and many, many more, give you the ability to connect with people. And I think that's why they have taken off in such a great way, that they're allowing people to connect with people. And by leveraging tools like, for instance, video, it gives us the ability to connect with someone at a higher level than just over the phone. So I think that's where the real excitement comes with technology.
Well, what you're saying, Terry, is that technology is not just an end in itself. In fact, we could say it's not an end, it's an instrument. So we take it and we look for what, in fancy terms, could be called its utilitarian value, how we can translate technology.
Oh, I like that word. Let me write that down. Utilitarian. I like it.
That's a PhD level word, you know.
I like that. Yeah, Jeremy Bentham and John Stuart Mill would like that too. Only a different meaning for utilitarianism.
Right. But you're reminding me of a book that is becoming very popular. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it yet. Laurie Thomas has written a book called Online Marketing. I happened to review that for Amazon at McGraw-Hill's invitation. One of the things she emphasizes at the outset of the book and throughout the book is that technology is for building relationships, echoing exactly what you've said. Now, Terry, let's touch on something, let's move to it, which you just touched on, and that's the social media. How many people, I wonder, are aware that Facebook, for example, now has 500 million subscribers, users?
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's quite a number. Let's talk about two or three of these. Maybe start with LinkedIn. And give us, explain to us what LinkedIn is, how it can benefit us professionally, and what are some guidelines that you tell your coaching clients and your seminar and speech audiences. What are some of the guidelines you give, and through your blog as well, on how to make the most of connecting with LinkedIn?
Well, LinkedIn is unique, as is Twitter or Facebook. Each of them has a particular niche, and it's so important that before you jump into it, you understand, okay, what's it all about? LinkedIn is kind of like the country club. It's people that go there join, and they're joining because that's where you really get business. Now, you do not go in to a country club. Let's say, Bill, you got a chance to join a country club in town, and the admission price was $1 million to join. And then every year it's going to cost you $200,000 just for your regular yearly membership. However, the deals that are done there are in the multi-billion dollar range. So we're talking about a really prestigious group to be involved with. So you would not go in there the first day you join, running up to everyone going, "Hi, I'm wonderful. Here's my brochure. We can sell you this. We're really, really good." I mean, you would probably be thrown out. You would lose your $1 million investment at maybe that first year. Plus, you'd lose all the deals that could be there.
Terry,
get to know people.
There's a comparison I've heard you make before in your presentations, where is very pertinent here, and that's where you say a guy can't go into a bar, sit down by an attractive lady, buy her a drink, and say, "Let's get married."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I don't recommend doing that at all, you know, and that is, I want you to know, I'm going on the record here, that is something I don't do anymore.
Anymore.
I make sure, you know, you got to get to know people. You know, that's what business is like, and that's what LinkedIn is about. You get to know people, and the way that you really get started in LinkedIn, as in so much of business, is you contribute value. You get to know people, let them get to know you as a person. This is what social media is about. Social media, the key word is social. So you get to know someone as a person, as a human being, and what they do, much like at the country club. And then as you get to know people, and they know you have expertise, if you realize, wow, we've got a heart surgeon here, and then we've got a dentist over here, and a realtor over here, as you have need for those kinds of services, you'll want to naturally work with people that you know, that you've had a chance to sit down with, you've shared a meal with them, you've shared a few drinks, and you want to talk with them, and they're people that you know, and then you like them through the country club, and then you get to trust them. That's the real key stage. You know them, like them, and trust them. And then the fourth stage, where we enter into commerce, is where you would engage with them in some form of transaction, whatever it might be. So LinkedIn is a marvelous tool for that, to get to know people. It's well known for a way to find jobs and to find people that can fill jobs. Often you'll see comments of people saying, "Hey, we're looking for a good civil engineer with about 3 to 5 years experience in specialty in this area. Does anyone know of someone that fits that qualification?" And so then people will mention it to others, and what happens is it's not just the people that you know, but with LinkedIn you've got an efficient way to have the second and third tier relationships notified of that as well. because you might say, gee, I don't know anybody, but let me see if anyone on my list, anyone that's in my LinkedIn community knows about that. And you can send that out. And so LinkedIn really is a great way to efficiently meet the needs of people wherever they might be, particularly for jobs, but in many other areas as well.
Terry, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit about the value of participating actively in LinkedIn by joining groups, professional groups. At the moment right now, we're going to have Christina remind our listeners where they are and who our wonderful guest is.
Hello, WBCX listeners. You have joined the Communication Corner, hosted by Dr. Bill Lambton, right here on 89.1 WBCX, the voice of Brenau. WBCX airs Dr. Bill's interviews live on Tuesdays at 9 a.m., as you're listening to right now, and rebroadcast them on Thursdays at 6 a.m. Today, Dr. Bill's guest is an expert. He has mentioned frequently during his interviews here on the Communication Corner, Terry Brock. Based in Orlando, Florida, Terry is advising us on how to leverage technology to build relationships. Please note that you'll find the podcast to this and all of Bill's previous Communication Corner interviews, as well as pictures of his guests, and many of them with him, maybe not Terry, because we have him on the line today. But you can visit that blog at www.thecompletecommunicator.com. Again, that's www.thecompletecommunicator.com. Again, we're delighted to have Terry Brock with us this morning.
Yes, we are. And getting back to the question I posed before that ID, Terry, when a person joins LinkedIn, you can't just expect great returns if you simply post your photo and your bio there and sit back and wait for things to happen. So that's where the value of groups comes in. Tell us about that, please.
Well, yeah, the groups give you a chance to be involved. It's kind of like, let me go back to my analogy of the country club. If you just join and go, hi, I'm here, everybody. Where's the business? I thought I was going to get business. People are going to look at you really strange. And so you've got to get involved. And so sometimes that country club might have a particular activity where they're raising money for a local charity, a local hospital, or a local cause. And you get involved in that, and then you get a chance to know people. You're getting to know them. They're getting a chance to know you as a human being, and that's what the group would be about. Now, you might say, gee, we're going to get a group over here of people that are particularly interested in, let's say, radio broadcasting and want to do more with that, or want to do more radio advertising. And you could have a little group there, a special interest group, if you will, and they get involved with that. Well, that's what LinkedIn does with their groups. With the groups there, you get a chance to interact with people that have a similar interest. And you can have, as most of us do, many different interests, because you might be interested in soccer for your children's soccer games. Then you might also be interested in anthropology and maybe a church group somewhere for a different activity. So we all have different groups that we're going to be in, all within the context of that country club. And the country club, again, would be LinkedIn. And the way those link together, it gives us a chance to link with people, not just with geographical similarity, because that's where the analogy breaks down. The old idea of the country club was largely a geographical connection. Now with LinkedIn, you're linking with people worldwide that have common interests, and you're able to really go in depth on those particular areas where you have an interest and you want to learn. So it opens up a world, literally, a world of possibilities, and it's great. I think it's better to be alive today, Bill, than ever before in history because of the opportunities and the things that we can do.
It's exciting. It's exciting. Now, just to tell you a little bit about my own experience with Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, I suggest that they're very natural places for people to start. And they say, well, gee, I don't know what my interests are. Okay, what about your alma mater? Even your high school alma mater, your college alma mater, your fraternity, your sorority, your civic club, they'll probably have some groups on there. What I've also found valuable, Terry, is not here again just to have your name listed as a member of the group, but to get a discussion going within the group. You can participate in discussions that other people have started, but it really highlights your expertise more if you pose a question. Let me give you an illustration. Not more than about a year ago, my college alma mater, Millsaps College, was seeking a new president. So I was a member of the Millsaps College group on LinkedIn. I posed the question, what are the five things that you would like the new president to accomplish? Well, this prompted a large number of responses from people who were dedicated to the interest and the betterment of the college. So think of something that really will get people's minds going. All of a sudden, and then, by the way, when those people answer you, it's very natural then that you send them an invitation to link with you on LinkedIn. And because mm-hmm. they've become familiar with you, that way they'll do it.
Yes, and they're more likely to, because now they know you as someone other than just saying, hi, link with me here. There's a real reason, a compelling reason for them. They like you, they know you, and they trust you.
Well, let's get to Facebook now, Terry, unless you had anything else you wanted to say about LinkedIn.
Well, I think LinkedIn is a good one, and for our listeners that are wondering about it, go over to LinkedIn.com and look around, see what is there, and go ahead and join. And then find those groups that are going to be of interest to you, and you can try some. You can sometimes, like many groups in the real world, you'll get into it, experiment, see what it's like, and maybe it's not quite right for you. That's okay. You can back out and then try another group, and there will be others to investigate. But for someone who's in business, someone who's a professional that wants to really excel and continue learning, like you've taught us so many times, Bill, of continued learning and continue to grow, this is a great tool for it, and LinkedIn would be one I'd highly recommend joining.
And it's just like it sounds, LinkedIn.com. Very simple to find. And I underscore what you said, Terry. If someone's in the job market, this is a wonderful place to have your presence spelled out and to become active.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Now, moving along to Facebook. I heard at a seminar, I was speaking at a convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey recently, and then after my keynote presentation, I attended a seminar on social media because, like you, Terry, I know there are plenty of people out there who know more than I do. That's one of your comments often is that all of us know more than any one of us. So I attended a seminar on the social media, and I liked the comparison that this person made about Facebook. Just as you have called LinkedIn the country club, he said Facebook, think of it as going to a barbecue. It's considerably more informal. So
yes.
Talk to us, please, about Facebook, its value. How do we position ourselves there to build credibility and attract clients through Facebook?
Well, Facebook is obviously huge. As you mentioned, over 500 million users that are now there and members. That means from a business point of view, you got to be there because this is where people are. It is no longer just what it started with, as Mark Zuckerberg started it at Harvard. The movie made that very famous of just connecting with people and friends that you would have. And then they expanded it to a few other Ivy League schools, and then it just kept growing and growing. And they've got something going there because you're able to kind of live within Facebook. There's even debate, people saying, why do we even need the internet? We'll just use Facebook because Facebook becomes its own little enclosed community. But it gives you a lot of capability. And I like that analogy. It's like the barbecue. It's like you're bringing people over to your home for a little visit. You're sitting and chatting. So it's a little more informal than LinkedIn. But keep in mind, it still has to be something where you wouldn't walk up at the barbecue with a bunch of brochures at hand and say, hi, I'm wonderful. Here's our stuff. We can make you a good deal and da-da-da. People would turn and walk away, or maybe they would do something with that barbecue other than put it in their own face. They might have other plans for it. So you get to know people and find out how you can serve them. Answering questions, being there, giving information that they find relevant and helpful, discussions that can take place, so you'll make a comment about something, and we see that often on Facebook. I like the fact that it can employ rich media as well, meaning you can put a video in there, you can put an audio, and of course a lot of links to, here's a great website with an article about such and such, people can go over there and be able to see it. I particularly like Facebook in that generally the conversations will be a little more civil than they are are out on the open internet, they tend to be some lively discussions. Someone will say a particular comment about a political situation, and you'll see others respond to it. And I think that the idea of lively, civil discussion is a hallmark of democracy and what our country is all about.
And here, too, the same thing that you said about LinkedIn holds true here. This is where people get to know you, like you, and trust you. Really, here, you have more of an opportunity. It's more fitting for you to talk, for example, about your hobbies or your vacation trip or sometimes occasionally, not all that often, but sometimes occasionally a little bit about your family. In fact, getting back to what you said about you don't just bombard people with business propositions on any of the social media, they have to get to know you. Terry, one of the formulas maybe we should keep in mind, what would you think, maybe 10% of the time or 20% of the time maximum we mention something regarding our business, the rest of the time we're building relationships, or what do you think is the right formula?
I don't know. I don't know if I've got an exact number on that. What I do think you want to do is to casually mention what you do. So, for instance, let's say you're a dentist. You might say, yes, and in my dental practice, I'm doing this. Or, you know, there's an amazing discovery of what they're doing now with molars and what they're doing with this. And so people understand, oh, okay, we like so-and-so. He is a dentist, and he mentioned that. You don't go into it a lot. You don't go into, we've got specials for you when you come by and get your teeth cleaned with us, because then they would go, huh? Ooh, I don't think I'd ever want to go to that person. But if you just mention casually there, and the real key is, more than a number of 20% or 30% or whatever, I think the real key is be attuned to their needs. Listen to where people are, where they're coming from. And don't just jump in and say, hey, I know that. For instance, they say, well, my cousin's got a real bad toothache. You can say, hey, I know what that's like. I'm a dentist, and I can relate to that. And you might tell them they could try this and be sure and see their dentist. And then obviously, if they say, gee, I don't have a dentist, could you help out? That dentist might be the one that they want to go to.
We can't look on this as a classified ad section, can we?
Exactly. If you do, you'll be in trouble, because people don't like. I remember someone that I bumped into here in Orlando, and he was and it seemed like a nice guy, but it seemed like every time he would have any communication with me, either on the phone or email, he's always trying to sell me something. Always. And I barely know the guy, and I think, you know, I don't really want to go to see what he's got, even if it's the best in the world and the best price, because it's just a negative about every time we're talking. He never takes the time to find out about who I am, what I do, what's going on in my life. He's always talking about his new stuff. Come on down to his office. They're going to show me some great things and can make me a really good deal, et cetera, et cetera. And I found it interesting. Other people here have said the same thing about this person. And I thought, yep, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand that's really not the way business has been done, and definitely today it's not, because we can easily click and go away, or we can even block a person and say, nope, I don't want you around at all.
Well, he doesn't realize that instead of gaining ground each time, he's losing ground. One more question before our break here, Terry, and that is, an associate that you know and that I know, Gina Carr, keeps talking about, getting back to Facebook, the value of not only having a personal page there, but also possibly having a business page on Facebook. What's your opinion about that and your guidelines?
Oh, I think it's very important. Having that business page is critical. Having the page, particularly when you've got a business that you're running, but also this would relate to candidates that are running for office. Most any credible candidate in the last election, and definitely in the elections coming up, is going to have a page on Facebook where they can tell their story. They can have testimonials. They can talk about what's going on. There's some rather elaborate pages that are out there now. They look very much like some of the best web pages you'll see. And so just kind of tuck it in the back of your mind, listener. If you're thinking, well, I've heard of some of these things called pages, go check some of them out. And if you're in business, think about ways you can do it. And if you have one, think about how you can use a lot of rich media there, with audio, with video that comes alive. Find the right person to help you on that. Make sure that you get the assistance, because you might not be able to do it yourself. If you can, great, go for it. But a business page can really give you a decisive edge today.
Oh, really? I'm happy to say that it's fairly easy technology because, as you know, I'm no technology geek, but I've been able to put video and audio on there. If I can learn that, anybody can. We're at the halfway point now. Terry, when we come back, we don't want to neglect Twitter. So when we come back from our break, I'm going to ask your guidelines about Twitter. Meanwhile, yep. We're going to take Christina. Remind our listeners where we are, please, and what we're doing.
And you're right. No neglecting Twitter. You know that's my favorite, Bill.
Oh, it's fabulous.
That's where Christina and I found each
right.
other. As a matter of fact,
right?
Yeah, tweet, tweet. It's good.
Yeah, tweet. Okay, so listeners, you are tuned into the Communication Corner here on 89.1 WBCX, the Voice of Brenau. The show is hosted by Dr. Bill Lampton. And it airs Tuesdays at 9 a.m. live right now and rebroadcasts on Thursdays at 6 a.m. Today, Dr. Bill's guest is an expert that he has mentioned frequently during his interviews with other guests here on the Communication Corner. His name's Terry Brock, and he's based in Orlando, Florida. Terry is advising us on how to leverage technology to build relationships. Please note that you'll find the podcast to this and all of Bill's previous Communication Corner interviews right on his blog. The web address to that is www.thecompletecommunicator.com. For each of those interviews, Bill displays a photo of his guest, plus the guest's contact information and a description of the interview. Again, that blog address is www.thecompletecommunicator.com. We're so delighted to have Terry Brock on the line today, and stick with us through this quick little break.
The station that never stops entertaining. You're listening to 89.1 WBCX, the Voice of Brenau.
Extraordinary lives from Brenau University.
I had everything going for me. A husband, a child, and a job I loved. And then things just fell apart. I got divorced, and suddenly my job as a teacher's assistant could no longer pay the bills. It was a terrible blow, but I didn't feel self-pity. Only this overwhelming sense that this was my life. And I wanted to make it the best life I could, for me and my son. So I went back to school and enrolled in Brenau University. At Brenau, I found classrooms full of people just like me. Motivated adults who wanted to better their careers and their lives. In 1 year, I'll be a licensed school teacher with my own first grade classroom. Life can knock you down, but you can change that life. At Brenau University, you can make your life extraordinary.
Now with two Atlanta campuses, Norcross and Fairburn, as well as Gainesville and online, register at gobrenau.com. That's GOBRENAU.com. Brenau University, extraordinary lives.
Hi, I'm Gail Dunn, and I'd like to invite you to join me on Garage Gab every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. On Garage Gab, we'll find a way to help you solve your car dilemmas and save you money. Again, that's 9 a.m. on Wednesday mornings here on The Voice of Brenau.
My name is Sue Smith. I'm 38 and I work at a graphic design company. And the teenage me would tell you,
I wouldn't be into drawing and art if it wasn't for big brothers, big sisters. My big sister showed me early on that I could do anything. And to the young me,
that meant a lot. My big sister's name is Sheila, and Sheila is the reason that this 8-year-old grows up to have an amazing job as a graphic designer.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Senior Issues is a radio show devoted to promoting quality issues to help our seniors maintain or improve their quality of life. Also, the show could help those with seniors and their family be aware of the various issues that would affect both them and their loved ones. Showtime is 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Thursday, and yes, we are live. We will cover a wide range of subjects over the course of time. If you have a subject that you would like discussed, or if you know of an event that our listening audience should be aware of, call me at 770-380-9727. This is Charles White, Certified Senior Advisor. I hope that we can add you to our listening audience.
Hello again, and welcome to the second half of the Communication Corner. I'm your host, Dr. Bill Lampton. Today, our guest is the highly informative and now informing us, Terry Brock from Orlando, Florida. Christina and I were talking a minute ago that here we are, 43 degrees in Gainesville, Georgia, and Terry's basking in the warmth of Orlando. Probably be 80 or more there today. Terry, Welcome back to the second half, and we were going to explore now Twitter. In fact, as I said, that's how Christina and I got connected. I once posted on Twitter that I recognized that radio was the theater of the mind, and I would love to get back into radio someday. That's when Christina tweeted me and said, "We got to talk." So that's what got us together. Now to Twitter. Tell us how to grow a group of followers on Twitter and then build a network that helps promote our services.
Well, if I had to say how to do it, I'd give you two words. Provide value. As you provide value, people are going to say, "Hey, I like what that person's doing," and then they're going to want to follow you. That's the term in Twitter, of course, we use. And so you'll follow what they're doing and pay attention to the kind of things that they're talking about. And the information you send out should be about things that are going to be relevant, not just about your business. If you're in business, you wouldn't just talk about that. Talk about other things that are beneficial. If you're providing and giving lots of value to others, then they'll want to pay attention to you. I think the classic example with Twitter is it got a bad rap, and people would say, "Hi, I'm standing in line to get a hamburger." And we look at that and think, who cares? You know, we don't care that you're in line to get a hamburger, but where it would become relevant would be, "I'm standing in line here at Terry's Hamburger Shop at the corner of 4th and Main, and they've got hamburgers today on sale for half off from 12 to 3. And if it's 11 o'clock and you know that there's going to be a sale on hamburgers over at Terry's Hamburger Shop, and you really like hamburgers, you're wondering where to go to lunch," suddenly that person has now provided you valuable information. And so that's how you want to put a twist on it. Not just, "I'm standing in line to get a hamburger," but "I'm standing in line to get a hamburger and it's available for this," or "they've got this special," or "boy, these are particularly good. If you're interested in a hamburger, come on by to Terry's Hamburger Shop and they do this well." So what you want to do is find a way to constantly add value. As you do that, within 140 characters, because each message must be less than 140 characters.
And that's not words, letters, that's characters.
That is characters. That includes spaces. That includes all those things you put in there. And because if you try to go over, it will chop you off. I wish they would do that to politicians, Bill, when they go over their limit. But that's a whole other thing.
They use 140,000 characters at minimum.
Yeah, I think they're up into the trillions right now. So they're doing that. But please don't tell them what comes after a trillion. We don't want them to know that.
They're already spending that. We know that.
Yeah, that's right. But Twitter really has some great applications. But, you know, Bill, one of the great things I want your listeners to know is Twitter is not just about sending out messages. It's also a very valuable way to find out what's going on. For instance, if you're going to find out about what are they saying about you, what are they saying about Terry's hardware shop, what are they saying about Bill's hardware shop, hey, I need to know about that. I want to find out what's going on. Well, you can go over to search.twitter.com. search.twitter.com, that's the website, and type in that phrase, Terry's Hardware or Bill's Hardware or whatever your company is or your competition or the phrase or industry you want, and you're going to find tweets, the messages that have been sent out on Twitter, those tweets that have been sent out there, and discover what's going on, what people are saying about you, and this is very valuable market research. You want to know what they're saying. And then if somebody's saying, "Hey, we walked into Terry's hardware store and it just wasn't any good and blah, 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 blah," that is something that is good. You want to find out about that so you can respond back to them and say, "Hey, just got the message that you had a bad experience last Tuesday when you were at Terry's hardware store, and we want to correct that. Tell me what happened. Here's my email address. Contact me offline, or here's my phone number. Let's get this resolved." And if people see that, they're going to realize, wow, over at Terry's hardware store, they take care of things. They do a good job when somebody doesn't like what's going on. And so you can use this mythical company that I'm calling Terry's hardware store and be able to really leverage the benefits of Twitter by knowing what to do and knowing how to do it.
Paid advertising is one thing, but today what really works is unsolicited testimonials from people who are, as you say, know that you give value. Terry, another thing, another thing about Twitter is that you will gain many more followers and many more admirers and even customers when you promote other people. There are a couple of ways you can do that. On Fridays, list them in your Follow Friday list, and then also retweet what other people have sent. If you agree with what they said, if you think it has value, retweet that. Suddenly, they're going to look at you as an ally, as a friend, and they'll start retweeting you, and they will put you on their Follow Fridays.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the old way of helping one person, and you help others, and then they help you, and this is the way the world grows. And besides, when you're getting more value, when people follow you and they realize, hey, if you like somebody, then they're probably pretty good, it helps them to grow, and I find that we're all better off that way, and business really gets done that way. Like you were saying, you got the position to be able to work on the radio and be able to do that by contacting Christina. She heard what you were doing. She saw that on Twitter and followed back, and that's incredibly important.
I'm forever grateful, too. Terry, moving along now, another area of expertise that you certainly have become widely known for because you've embraced it and promoting it in all of your speeches and seminars and on your blog is Skype. You and I have talked to each other on Skype and seen each other's mugs as we were doing it. Many times, we've even done that when you were in the country of Panama for a month. We did that when you were in Australia. Skype, for you, has dissolved geographical boundaries. And do you know the wonderful thing about it? It still is connected with that favorite word of ours, free, F-R-E-E. So
yes.
Tell us something about Skype, how we use it, how to get the most out of it.
Well, Skype, I found, has been a real tool for business. It's helped us to connect with others, and as a matter of fact, I've been using it for so long. Just recently, I was deeply honored when Skype came to me and said, gee, Terry, we like what you're doing. We would like you to be our enterprise blogger, the chief enterprise blogger, and so they have now become my largest client. Working with them now to see how people are using it, and Bill, I'm finding people are using it for some amazing practices in reaching people in business, being able to show what's going on. Just the video alone is fabulous. Like you and I were saying, we were able to connect when I was down in Panama, and I was over in Australia, and I use it over in Europe when I'm bouncing around the world. I do a lot of traveling in my work, and I find that it gives me the ability to connect with video with people once we get past the, yeah, what time is it for you there, what's your weather like, etc., which is nice small talk, and it's good to have. We can get down to serious business discovery, and Bill, as you and I know, when we've talked, I've been able to say, oh, look over here, it's this, and I'll hold up things on the to the camera so you can see it, and I go, now you see there's three holes on the camcorder right here, it goes in that one, and you can actually see it as if I were right there with you. It dissolves the geographical differences, makes it much easier. And one of the nice things that Skype has now is a new service called group video calling.
Tell us about that.
The GVC, as we call it at Skype, or group video calling, gives you the ability to have more than just two people on the screen. You can put up to 10 people on the screen at the same time. We were using it, matter of fact, yesterday. We had a Skype conference call. Some of us were up in New York, some over in California in our Palo Alto office, and I was in Orlando. And so we're hitting different places. We had one person who wasn't able to join us from London, but we do that often also. And people are coming in from around the world. We can actually see them. We're seeing each other. We're watching facial reactions. We're making comments. We can hold up different items. And it really takes the communication level to a whole different place. Yes, we still have physical meetings, and we'll do that, but as you can imagine, this one saves a huge amount of time, money, and effort when we can meet.
Amazingly, we're at the three-quarter point of our Communication Corner interview with Dr. Terry Brock. Christina, take it from there, please.
Yes, Bill, on next week's show, the guest will have wide appeal. You'll be interviewing Johnny Vardaman, formerly the longtime editor of the Gainesville Times, right here in Gainesville, Georgia. As much as the newspaper industry has changed in the last decade, his observations will have special interest for all of us. And here's one more reminder. Be sure to visit Dr. Bill's blog to find the write-ups about his guests and their contact information, along with the complete podcast of the interviews. That blog address is thecompletecommunicator.com. Also, Dr. Bill loves to hear from listeners. You can call him at 678-316-4300 or here at the station at 770-538-4744. Now back to Dr. Bill's interview with Terry Brock about leveraging technology to build relationships.
Thank you, Christina. Terry, so many of us now have become iPad users. Those of us who didn't even know we were going to, my wife, Sandra, was kind enough to surprise me, and it was a real surprise to give me one for a birthday present. And it took a little while to get adjusted to it, but it's so valuable. Give us your best tips about using iPads so that we get maximum benefit from it.
Oh, wow. Do we have another 4 hours on this show today?
if you pay for it, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do with it. I really love the iPad, and you hear that a lot from people, and they use that word, love. And I thought, you know, there's a reason for that. And for me, it's all the information that I can read, the books, the magazines that I can get and read on there so comfortably, the way that I can access the net. I do that from many places as I'm traveling, sending email, checking Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., watching videos, learning from that. I found this morning I was reading a book on there, and I love being able to go out. The other day, for example, I was checking my email early in the morning. Bill, you and I both like to get up early in the morning, I know. And I was checking some email, found one. I thought, oh, that looks good. And they talked about a particular book. Well, I liked it. It sounded really good. I thought, let me just check this out a little further. I went over to Amazon.com, saw it there, clicked on the link, and I was able to purchase it at a discount price, by the way. It came down within 60 seconds on my iPad, and I was reading the book. And so I was able to get that book and be able to read it right there within 60 seconds. And this was early in the morning before all the bookstores are open. And so with the iPad, I can do that. It gives me the ability to do so much. And really, in many places, we do not need a laptop computer. We can do everything we need to do with the iPad.
iPad is so compact, so portable. I don't think it's any bigger than the notebook I've got before me right here.
Yeah, it's very nice. I think it's 9.7 inches on the screen and weighs about a pound and a half. So very easy to carry around. And I bought an extra keyboard that it just slides into. You press a button and boom, you can start doing your typing, do some note-taking, letter writing. I love going to seminars and conferences, and I can sit there and type away. The battery goes, they say, for about 10 hours. My experience has been, Bill, that is not true. It goes for about 14 hours.
Wonderful.
And it's just phenomenal for learning. They call it an iPad. I call it a learning machine. It lets me learn by reading my magazines, my books, listening to iPods, podcasts, as well as videos, and staying up to date, communicating, staying in touch with people. Yeah, I love the thing.
What would be, if you were explaining iPad to a new user, what would be three or four apps, as we call them, that you would say to them would be most beneficial for business purposes?
Well, there's a lot of them out there. It's hard to say which ones. I know for me, I often use the Google Translate a lot. The new Google Translate that just came out maybe a month or so ago gives you the ability to select from a host of languages, and you literally speak into it, and then it will transcribe what you say in your language, English for me, and then I translate it into another language, and then it speaks it back to you. We can do this through Google Translate. Now having this on the iPad gives me the portability to do it wherever I might want to do it. I also use a tool called Flippad regularly. That's Flipboard, Flipboard. And I can put lots of information on there from my Facebook and my Twitter. Matter of fact, Christina, if you're not using that, I would highly recommend you look into that on an iPad. And if you don't have an iPad, go on out and get one. Bill will buy you one, I'm sure. Right, Bill?
Yes,
yes, exactly.
I'll use your credit card to do it. That's right.
Yeah, there you go. But Flipboard gives you the ability to go through magazines and websites, blogs that you like, and you customize your reading in a most enjoyable, memorable experience. And again, because I enjoy and have a penchant for learning and growing, I find that Flipboard is a very, very useful app for staying up on top of what's happening with technology, with business, and with life in general. and I read from a variety of sources. From on a political spectrum, I like to read what the far left is saying, what the far right is saying, what others in the middle, and all around many different countries. I want to get a synopsis of many different points of view, find out what everybody's saying, and then make up my own mind from there. And with today's available knowledge and the media that's available, we can do it.
One of the ways, Terry, that you follow up with a prospect or with a client or with someone that you're just getting acquainted with professionally, many of us go the standard route. We follow up with emails, but you will follow up with not just an email. You'll go beyond that. You'll send through the internet an audio message or a video message, most often a video message. This separates you and others who can do that from just the run-of-the-mill follow-up. Tell us maybe what technology a person can use for that. Amazingly, here again, it's not expensive and it's not all that complicated.
Exactly. It's an amazing way to get a competitive advantage and to really stand out from the crowd. One of the tools that I've used in the past for audio is just a simple tool called Audacity. Audacity is a free product on both Windows and on the Mac side, and it gives you the ability to create audio and then to edit that. If you know how to use Microsoft Word, you can use Audacity. It is that easy. And then you create an MP3 audio file and can send that out. And lately I've been using a tool called iJot, and that's E-Y-E-J-O-T, iJot.com. And it gives me the ability to create a quick video and then send that video to someone. It is just amazing how easy it is, and it is free for a 60-second or less video. They do have a paid and premium program for $29.95 a year, less than $30. You can create a video up to 5 minutes. And then you send that out to people. They don't have to have software on their computer. You don't have to have software on yours. It's all done in the cloud on the internet.
Yes, and what I liked about it, you introduced me to that a couple of months ago, and I started using it as well. What I like about it, not only does it send your brief video, beside your video is a bio, a professional bio that you have created. So they not only get your visual message, visual audible message, but they also see who you are. You put your blog link or your web link, your email address, your phone number, whatever you want to in the posting there.
Yeah, and you see, we're going right back to what we talked about at the beginning of the program. It's all about relationships. When you're getting a video from someone and it's a warm personal video, you know that is the real person. That is not a canned text message that was sent out to everybody and you just pressed a button and it was sent in a cold, inhuman way. No, this is the real person right there looking into the camera. You hear their voice, you see their face, and they can communicate so much better that way. You can hold up objects, you can refer to a page in a book, you can read something, you can move. If you've got a camera that is an external one, you pick up, move around, you can say, and look out the window here, and you show that, or you show other areas of the office, and it's like the other person becomes involved right there on the spot. So again, Bill, it circles right back around to relationships.
Talking about how to use that to make your messages more personal, I'll tell you what I did this last year that had far more impact than any holiday greeting cards I had sent out. My wife, Sandra, who in many ways is my assistant, associate, and advisor, asked me, are you going to send out holiday cards again? Do I need to go order some? I said, no, this year I'm going to use email. I'm going to send each person who would be on that mailing list, I'm going to send each one of them a personalized video message, 1 minute long. Which I did, and it didn't really take that much longer than signing a card, addressing it, and putting a stamp on it. Terry, I must tell you and all of our listeners that most of the time, any holiday cards I have sent out were, you know, if they were acknowledged at all, it was maybe with a little bit of courtesy. But these just energized those who received them, and it gave tremendous confirmation to me that this is a way I'm going to be communicating even with sizable groups of people from now and do it individually.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's so important. And I would say to listeners, listen to what Bill said. It's a very important way to connect with others because they're seeing you. And think about how much time it takes for you to fill out the card, sign it, and those things. And that's good. And we like the handwriting because we know that person was there. Well, when you send a video, you definitely know it's that person. You can say more in 60 seconds than you can write. Because, well, we talk faster than we can write. And so you're able to send a message that is personable. It's easier for you. It's sometimes and often more thrilling for that person. I think it's a win all the way around.
Terry, I've got about 30 seconds for you to answer a question as we're drawing to a close here. A recent article in your blog talked about the power inherent in the simple word with, W-I-T-H. Share with us in a nutshell what you said there.
Well, I described it as a four-letter word that's very powerful. When you try to do something by yourself, that's one thing. But when you can do it with another person, you combine your forces. 2 + 2 = 5. We find that we're able to do a lot more together than we ever could alone. And like you said at the beginning, one of the sayings out in Silicon Valley, none of us is as smart as all of us. I would encourage you as a listener to find out others you can work with in your work, those areas and those resources that you can blend into your life to extend what you're doing and get even farther ahead.
Terry, I've seen you do that, of course, with the National Speakers Association. You have been president of that group. You have been a leader of that group. You have been honored by that group. It has had a wonderful impact on you both personally and professionally because you were in your professional association, as we encourage others to do. Again, Terry, we're drawing close to the close here. I want to thank you, as I know all of our listeners will, for sharing your expertise on how to use technology, how to leverage it to build your business. It doesn't take a lot of money. It doesn't take an incredible amount of training. Get the right coach. Get the right associates, and you can be there in the forefront of what's happening. It's been a privilege to host Terry Brock. It's been a privilege to be your host as well. This is Dr. Bill Lampton in the Communication Corner, WBCX-FM 89.1 on your dial. Join us every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. and rebroadcasted Thursdays at 6 a.m.